Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. So glad that you're with us, so glad that you're here recognizing and celebrating who you are. You are life's opportunity to show up as something unique, special, and very personal to you. We are none of us cut from someone's cookie cutter that turns out expressions of the divine in lockstep motion or all looking the same. Instead, we are divine opportunities. We are the opportunities for the divine to move through us and create our own unique and wonderful lives according to what we desire, according to what we believe, according to in some cases, to what we were handed at the beginning. So welcome. I'm so grateful you're here. We celebrate you, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your choices, however you understand yourself, if you know yourself to be, whatever labels you use, you know, male, female, pronouns, all of that is secondary to the fact that we know who you are. We know you are an expression of the divine, and everything you do and all that you're about is that one expression. You may not know it. It may not feel very different than just your ordinary living, but it is the essence of what ordinary living is really all about. So in a few moments, we're going to have another video showing you a little about what we believe so that you have an idea of where and how this idea of living as an expression of life can happen and show up, and some detail on how to put that to work in your life. That will be followed then with some words of wisdom from one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who is trained in these teachings in New Thought, trained in spiritual practice, trained in changing our thinking by changing our lives in that process. So today we have one of our practitioners with us who will share some ideas and then guide us in an affirmative prayer. That affirmative prayer will be also what we call a spiritual mind treatment. And then following that, we have a little music from Faith Rivera, and then a wonderful talk by the Reverend Cynthia Paulson, who is a guest speaker with us today. Her talk today is going to be part of our monthly theme, which is living compassionately. And we talked last week about compassion for the world. Now, what does that look like and how do we live that way? This week, we're going to go with the opposite direction, and that is compassion for ourselves. What does that mean, and how do we live in that way? What difference would it make if you lived a compassionate life that was also compassion for you, just as for everyone else? So that's our lineup. So right now, I'm just going to step back and allow it all to unfold as you hear our declaration of principle. Thank you for being with us.
I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Good morning. It's great to be online with all my generous friends who enjoy the messages from CSL Midtown. This weekend, I'm attending a workshop in Los Angeles, where I'm learning to reprogram the limiting beliefs in my subconscious mind and replace them with better beliefs. It's a fascinating workshop indeed. It reminds me of spiritual mind treatment, which we're going to go through here shortly. But first, I want to bring a few readings on the topic of mental equivalence. That is the power that we each have of using our own minds, and specifically our imaginations, to create the world around us. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, said, there's a power in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. Emmett Fox, who was a teacher, a theologian, and a philosopher, and a contemporary with Ernest Holmes, said, supply yourself with a mental equivalent, and the thing must come to you. When he was asked to elaborate, Fox said, what you think upon grows. Whatever you allow to occupy your mind magnifies in your life. Whether the subject of your thought is good or bad, the law works on it and conditions grow. The more you think of grievances and issues, the more trials and challenges you will encounter. The more you think of good fortune and prosperity that you have had, the more good fortune and prosperity will come to you. That's pretty good news, because that means we're in control of our future. In the Science of Mind textbook on page 306, Ernest Holmes says, the limit of our ability to demonstrate the power depends on our ability to provide a mental equivalent. So this is powerful stuff. Now, within our subconscious mind is the place where manifesting our world begins. Our conscious mind has to create a mental equivalent within our subconscious mind, and that creates our personal experience. What do you focus on most regularly? Is it the problems that you have in your life? Or do you watch the news and see the issues of the world around us? Or, on the other hand, is it the abundance and desire? Is it the goodness that came to you last week that you are grateful for? There's a lot to be said for a gratitude journal. When we understand the fact that our mind creates the universe around us, then we know why our life is as it is, either good or bad. Spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer helps us to create a mental equivalence to the world that we desire. And out of that mental equivalence comes manifestation. It's about reprogramming our subconscious mind to create what we desire, instead of allowing it to create what we do not want. Our licensed practitioners are trained by Centers for Spiritual Living to lead you through spiritual mind treatments. So I'm going to show you that right now. Now, this will be more of a general treatment. A practitioner can help you through a specific treatment to meet your specific needs. But this will benefit all of us. You can contact one of our practitioners through the CSL Midtown website. Now, let's do a spiritual mind treatment together. Let's relax. Not too relaxed. I don't want you to fall asleep. But relax and take a deep breath and release it slowly. Let's take another deep breath and release it slowly. Let's hold it at the top, though. In and out. Let's do another one. Deep breath in and out. As I go through this treatment, accept and repeat any part of what I say that resonates with you. If it doesn't fit or doesn't feel right to you, then simply let it pass by. So know this with me, if you will. I know that there is one power, one source of all that exists. That power is known by many names. God, Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the universe. Today, I choose to call it God. All that there ever was God. All that there is right now is God. All that there will ever be God. Every one of us were created out of God and are part of God. I know that I was created out of God and that I am part of God. What I choose to think creates my personal experience. What I think becomes a mental equivalent for my life and everything around me. Therefore, I choose to think upon the good things around me. I choose to think on the prosperity I have and the abundance that God creates with me and through me. I choose to think of the generosity of those hearing my voice and the abundance that is received by the center to help it continue. I choose to think and give thanks for my continuing good health and my getting better health-wise every single day. I think of the good of my growing finances. I think of my ability to thrive in every way. There is nothing that can hinder my abundance except my thoughts. Nothing can hinder the abundance of those who make up the center that is known as CSL Midtown, except our individual thoughts. Therefore, I think upon the good. I am grateful for all that I have. I am grateful for those who are around me, for those who are hearing this talk today, for my family and my loved ones. I am thankful for the abundance that is coming to me from all angles. I'm thankful for the air that I breathe. I am thankful for the water I drink and the food that I eat. I know that there will be more because I know that I am a creator with God. Therefore, I declare that all goodness, all abundance, everything that I desire is mine. I release these words knowing that they are true. And together we say, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Now that we all know that all is well, let's enjoy this beautiful psalm followed by today's lesson.
Good morning, everyone. We have such a fun theme this month for June, compassionate living. And I think it's something that we could all become more aware of and strive to incorporate in our lives. So I thought I would kind of start simple today and talk about what this really means. When we consider compassionate living, compassionate just means having or showing compassion, obviously. And compassion means a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. Now, let me just pause right there for a second, because that really doesn't sound like what we're all about. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's misfortune? To see someone's misfortune and have sorrow for them, to be sort of brought down and lowered in consciousness because of their circumstance? That doesn't sound very science of mindy to me. But the rest of the definition says that this feeling of sympathy and sorrow is accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Now that sounds like us. That sounds like compassion. We see suffering and we desire to know the truth and to lift another up to a new experience. When we talk about being compassionate, it's usually with regard to how we treat people and how we understand and care for others. When we hear we should demonstrate compassionate living, our thoughts turn outward. Whom can I help? Who do I need to sympathize with and show some kindness toward? Well, my talk today blows all of that out of the water because our topic is compassion for the self, which sounds kind of wrong, right? I'm the person I need to help. I'm the person I need to sympathize with and show kindness toward. It's true. We each individually deserve our own compassion. We can and should desire to alleviate our own suffering. The truth is that many of us view this idea as being selfish, and it's not. Having compassion for ourselves is not selfish. In fact, I'll talk more about this in a minute. It's actually good spiritual practice. I was so pleased that CSL included this topic with the theme of compassionate living. In fact, those of you who subscribe to the Science of Mind magazine might have seen the latest issue this month. It's titled Embracing Self-Care, You Are the Priority. How fun is that? It's a great issue, as all of them are. And if you're not familiar with that, you can go to scienceofmind.com. Fantastic magazine. You can get it in print, or they have a digital version you can get every month as well. Very cool. So the truth is, we can't run around only serving others and having compassion only for the misfortune of others and ignoring ourselves. It doesn't work. We are responsible for our own experience. We matter. One of my favorite sayings that got me through the deep throes of young motherhood when I had 3 kids under 5 was the phrase, "You can't pour from an empty cup." I love that saying. I told myself that all the time. You can't pour from an empty cup. We can't have compassion for others and take care of others if we ourselves are depleted. And this is a hard lesson for some of us to learn. I will never forget when my 2 oldest daughters were toddlers. They were maybe 1 or 2 years old. And we took an airplane trip to visit grandma and grandpa. And before the flight took off, one of the flight attendants came over to my then husband and I and looked us in the eye and said, "If there is a change in cabin pressure and those oxygen masks drop down, put your own mask on first and then put your child's mask on." And I have to tell you, my knee-jerk reaction was, yeah, right. I'm going to make my child wait and suffer while I tend to myself first. I thought that was crazy, but I stopped. I thought about it. And I, of course, realized that I am no help to my children if I can't breathe. So it's an important reminder because it goes against our maternal instinct in that situation to put ourselves first. But that's why they make the point to tell you so you understand it. So focusing on ourselves, having compassion for ourselves, obviously very important. How do we do this? How do we have and show compassion for the self? Well, by practicing a couple things called self-love and self-care. And I do want to make a little distinction here because I think in some ways they're different things. Self-love, super important. And it's a mental thing to me. It's how we think about ourselves, how we talk to ourselves. It's what's our inner dialogue is saying to ourselves, how we see ourselves in the world. It's understanding our worthiness. Self-love is spiritual for sure, but it's also intellectual and psychological. Self-care is essentially a form of self-love, and it's a little bit more tangible. It's action that we can take. Self-care is often something physical for us to do for ourselves. Now, this may sound a little stereotypical. I am a girl, and I make no apologies for that. When I think of self-care, I think of a bubble bath, you know, lounging in a bathtub or getting a massage or a facial or a mani-pedi, you know. a day of rest, you know, laying around and reading a good book, taking a nap. Self-care might look like taking care of our bodies and nurturing our health. I have a great story for that I'm going to share at the end of the talk here. Going to the doctor for a physical or to a holistic practitioner might be our self-care. Getting exercise, taking a walk out in nature, you know, especially alone in solitude, is self-care. My husband's self-care routine includes spending time in the beauty of nature while getting in 18 holes of golf. He loves golfing alone for hours, and he always comes back happy. All these different things have something in common, and that is where our attention is focused. Taking care of the self means our attention is shifted to us, to our inner self, our bodies, our mind, our spirit, our soul. These self-care actions are a pausing. Self-care is us hitting pause to pay attention to ourselves. Now, often these choices include stillness and rest. This pause is how we reset, replenish, and restore ourselves. So the lowercase s self, you know, our ego-based human self, might want, need, and deserve that day of pampering, you know, the bubble bath or that pedicure or the day on the golf course. All great things. But what about our capital S self? When we can align our self-care with our spiritual practice, that's when our capital S self receives the care that it needs, the awareness of our God presence, doing things like meditation, sitting in silence, prayer, reading spiritual wisdom books, journaling. Self-care is absolutely about self-awareness. Self-awareness really is God-awareness, our capital S self. Joanne McFadden is the minister of the New Thought New York CSL, and she wrote about this very topic in this month's Science of Mind magazine. She explains that when we use spiritual practice as our self-care, our capital S self-care, it becomes about honoring the fact that we are individualized expressions of the source. Self-care, having compassion for our divine self, resting in the presence, these things nourish the roots of our divine essence. Self-care is a retreat from the turmoil of our lives. You know, I call it the human muck. Self-care is a way to check in with our soul. We let go of our outer selves, coming closer to who we really are, to our truth. Now, it is so easy to just say this and talk about it. Go practice your self-care. Go make yourself a priority. Do your spiritual practice. But let's be honest. We are busy. We are busy people, sometimes to a fault. We have a lot going on. In that same article, Joanne McFadden said she does this exercise with her students where she gives them an empty glass baby food jar and a walnut and a little bag of rice. And she tells them, put the rice in the jar and then add the walnut. And it doesn't work. The walnut doesn't fit. And then she has them pour out the rice and put the walnut in first. And then the rice is poured in and magically it all fits. Everything fits. Now, the walnut, of course, is our self-care, connecting with spirit, our spiritual practice. The rice is all that other stuff that needs to get done in our busy lives. When we make the time to connect to source, it is amazing how much we can get done, how much we can fit into our lives. It takes effort and commitment to practice spiritual self-care on a regular basis. Guess what master teacher demonstrated this for us? Jesus modeled this behavior of retreating, resting, returning to source all the time. The Bible is full of scriptures that say things like Jesus found a deserted place, or he departed to the mountain, or he went to a solitary place. Over and over again, Jesus went off to be alone, to pray. I would say to meditate, to be still, and connect with his deepest, highest self, which he called his Father, the Father within him. He used this practice to realize his unity with Source. There's a book by Carolyn Oakes, O-A-K-E-S is her last name, and she wrote a book called Practice the Pause. And it is about how Jesus's repeated practice of pausing is the same method that neuroscientists today have proven changes our brain in ways that enhance insight and compassion. I love it. It's such an interesting book. I highly recommend it. There is something to this self-care practice of Jesus. The New Testament shows us that Jesus had this pattern of going off and, you know, practicing stillness and solitude by himself and then returning to inspire others, to heal them, and perform miracles. He demonstrated the importance of self-care and spiritual practice for us. He was instructing us how to take time to rest, be still, and cultivate a relationship with our divine source. Taking the time to do this is necessary for us as humans. Ernest Holmes agreed with this as well. He told us in The Science of Mind, we long for and need a conscious union with the infinite. This is as necessary to the nature and intellect of man as food is to the well-being of a physical body. I really believe these quiet, meditative self-care practices make us better, higher functioning human beings. Now, the interesting thing is the places we go, the type of self-care we practice can be different for each one of us. For years, when my kids were little, I would get up before everyone in the house at 6:30 in the morning and soak in a bathtub. It was the only time of the day I could be alone in the silence. And I used to pray and meditate in there, and I'd read spiritual books in the bathtub. What we do doesn't matter as much as our intention and what our attention is on, which is our communion with spirit, our ultimate self-care. If we put off showing compassion for ourselves and practicing self-care, we can oftentimes get into some metaphysical trouble. We know this. It's very easy to get caught up in the I must be busy hustle culture of today that's just become standard practice. And that culture is a lie. As divine spiritual beings, we are meant for balance and wholeness. I'm going to say that again just in case you didn't hear me. As divine spiritual beings, we are meant for balance and wholeness. Yourself deserves your effort for your balance and wholeness to be revealed. So I want to wrap up today with a story about a CSL minister I know who is very successful. Her center is thriving and has been for years. It's one of the biggest centers in the country. She's the senior minister there. She has assistant ministers, hundreds of members in her congregation, multiple services a week, ongoing classes, dozens of practitioners in service. And what happened was, years ago, she was so busy working at the center that she unintentionally neglected her self-care and her health. She started experiencing and feeling some pain in her body. She went to the doctor, had some tests done, and was diagnosed with a pretty serious disease. Rhymes with cancer. She was very lucky that it was caught early on and it was treatable. And after she had a minor surgery and underwent some treatment, she returned to the center to give a talk about self-care and self-love and how important they are. And what she did was she performed a ceremony during her talk. And she invited any of us who wanted to participate in it to join in. And it was like a wedding ceremony where vows were read. It was a commitment ceremony between herself and her mind, body, and spirit. She committed to viewing and loving her body as the divine, caring for it, paying attention to it, honoring it, celebrating the divine oneness of it all. It was like an integration ceremony. And she had the whole congregation recite these vows out loud and do this for themselves if we wanted to. We had the opportunity to essentially marry ourselves and commit to our own self-care for our divine self, including our mind, body, and spirit. It was utterly beautiful. I mean, people cried, and people were changed because of that talk. Some of them made doctor's appointments. Some of them, you know, changed their work schedule or joined a gym. Some people started a meditation and yoga class. Her experience with self-care actually impacted her whole CSL community for the better. So I would leave you today with this beautiful quote from the inspirational author, Alan Cohen. He said, "Wouldn't it be powerful if you fell in love with yourself so deeply that you would do just about anything if you knew it would make you happy? This is precisely how much life loves you and wants you to nourish yourself. The deeper you love yourself, the more the universe will affirm your worth. Then you can enjoy a lifelong love affair that brings you the richest fulfillment from the inside out." Thank you for having me, CSL Midtown.
Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. That was an awesome talk this morning. Now is our opportunity to give back. And in our giving, we are a very giving community. And supporting us in the way that we have to share this message with the world. We're online. We're available, accessible, and out there. So with that, you've got the opportunity to give. You can do that with scanning the QR code or going to the website, cslmidtown.org/donate. And if you will, let's read our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So I've got a couple of announcements. We've got coming up at the end of the month, the 24th and 25th. There are two events, but this one, the 24th is Being the Beloved Community. That's in the morning, 10 to noon at the City of Light. We're going to have Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart come in. For anybody that is a minister, spiritual minded, a practitioner, anybody that feels like they're in that category, this is Being the Beloved Community. On the 25th in the afternoon, Are You a Spiritual Edgewalker? This is a workshop about change by Dr. Jim Lockhart, and that will be at the same location from 2 to 5, and Dr. Jim will also be our speaker that same day, that Sunday. So take a look at the website. If you like, register for those events. We'd love to have you there. And Dr. Bob will be back next week online, as we are for the summer. So if you now watch your screen, and we will do our closing affirmation, our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week.